Hello, Kumo. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Nah, man, I'm chilled out. This is Khotatso from Stage Fright.
It's nice to talk to you today.
I understand you are one of the co-founders for Codecast.
Yes, I am.
Do you have some time for us to talk about the experiences you guys have been having podcasting,
Yeah, definitely. I have some tips I could share, and hopefully, it's something that someone out there will benefit from.
Okay. Please be do advise that this call is being recorded for content creation purposes. Are you all okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay, cool. So, the first question I'd like to ask you is, what has been the most pleasant experience you've had on a flight?
The most pleasant experience. That's hard to say. I don't like flying, so it's never really a pleasurable experience for me overall. So maybe off the top of my head, I'd say the most pleasurable experience is landing, because then I know I'm like safe. It's like a thing.
So every time the wheels hit the ground, you're like, ah, and
Yeah, I'm happy. Like that's my happy place right there. I'm back on the ground.
No, man, interesting stuff. So, has there been any destinations you've had to travel to for the sole purpose of a podcast?
Not yet, actually, and it's something that I'm hoping will happen soon.
Okay. Now let's just get into it then. Tell us a little about Codecast and what you guys are trying to do and what you guys are trying to achieve.
Okay, great. So Codecast is something that we had been thinking about for a while. It was really just born out of like a tweet, if I'm really being absolutely honest. I wanted to explore new ways to have fun, basically. So it was mostly an experiment at the very beginning. I tweeted that I wanted to do this, and a few people were interested in doing it with me. And we decided that we'll just trial it for a couple of episodes and then see where the road takes us. So initially, I wouldn't say we had a particular goal that we had in mind, or a vision, or a mission. Like those are things that we were never thinking about when we started. But along the way, we started to define what we wanted to put out there and what our market was going to be. So we decided to focus more on well, technology as a whole, but more fine-tuned towards the things that matter to us and in the community that we are now. So a lot of that stuff revolves around evangelism, tech evangelism, that is, education and advocacy, and growing our ecosystems, basically, and just overall just connecting the people in our community to other enthusiasts across the continent and across the globe, but mostly focused on the continent of Africa. Yeah, so this was generally how we started, actually.
And I think now I engage with you guys more on the Rushing Forward podcast. How did that spin off the Codecast podcast, which also had a home, and now you're also doing the Rushing Forward?
Okay, so this is interesting because we've been doing it for over 2 years now. So when we started in the first year, like I said, we started as just something we're doing for fun. But then as we started to gain shape and introduce some structure, we realized that we had a challenge. We wanted this to remain something fun, but at the same time, we wanted this to be what's the word? Something that a lot of people enjoy beyond just the tiny circle that we were publishing for. So we started doing a lot of research, started looking, I started talking to a lot of people, and we found that the length of our podcast was just it was too long for most people. But then we really enjoyed how long it was. We enjoyed having like spin-offs and like just sidetracked conversations and that sort of thing. So We decided that okay, we're more like a panel style discussion, and we still want to maintain that kind of panel style discussion. But we also recognize that we need to introduce another angle to it. We need to introduce some sort of interview style podcast that still appeals to the group of people that may not completely engage with the panel style discussion podcast that we've been doing. And that's something that we find, very interesting. It's fun for us to do, and it maintains the interest that we have. So we decided to take on another project, and this was the Rushing Forward podcast. So we wanted this to be the part of podcast that tells the story of African tech enthusiasts, people making inroads within the community of technology. And we wanted this to be something that the average developer, the average software developer that is, can relate to on a daily basis. So that's basically telling stories from our peers in the community. And that's what we wanted Rushing Forward to do. And so far, it looks like it's doing that well. And to kind of like align that vision with what Codecast is, we decided to also not publish the podcast primarily on just any platform, but a platform that we feel we can support and rally behind and help grow into something that hopefully, as Africa, we are proud to say we have as a platform that we've developed on.
Okay, cool. And yeah, I thank you guys for using Colello for this. And yeah, you guys have kept me on my toes ever since you started posting. And yeah, I've also been enjoying the content you guys are pushing on.
What's been your favorite episode so far on either Codecast or Rushing Forward?
I think they are different, right? I think on Codecast, I've enjoyed that one where you were talking with the lady who had the payment solution.
Yeah.
Was it Flutter?
Flutterwave, yeah.
Yeah, Flutter. And then on Rushing Forward, I enjoyed the behind the scenes episode, which is weird. I think with Lydia, I think that's the one I enjoyed most.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite episodes as well. Like,
Yeah.
there was something about that behind the scenes episode that just spoke to everybody on the team, and we just wanted that to be something that other people enjoyed as well. There's lots of content that happens behind the scene that we don't really get to publish, and hopefully over the next couple of months we'll start to do a little bit more of that. Publish conversations before the recording starts. Publish some of the things that get cut out of the final episodes, and hopefully that's something that a lot more people will enjoy as well.
Okay, cool. So how big is the team?
So in total, we have a team of 6 people. So we have a sound engineer who manages most of the sound quality stuff, manages the studio as well. We've got 4 hosts, 3 of them primarily on Codecast and one on Rushing Forward, and it's Daniel. And we have someone that's managing our social media. So that's one area in which I think none of us were really good at, and we had someone that was willing to come on board and see if they can help us grow our reach. We noticed that a lot of our audience is within Zambia itself, maybe half our audience. And we do have some level of listenership across Africa, and we wanted to grow those numbers as well, get more people listening to us, so that we can kind of figure out what's happening in the different parts of Africa as well.
Yeah, no, in interesting stuff. So what would you recommend someone considers if they want to also start their own podcast?
I think this is a difficult question for me, and also easy at the same time, because we faced a lot of challenges at the very beginning. I think one of the biggest things we had to consider was what is it that we're trying to do? who are we trying to appeal to? And maybe because we started by not considering these, it was a bit easier for us because we just went on this rant or this like flurry of episodes until we figured that out. But definitely one of the things you should consider is what kind of message you're trying to put out, where you're going with this basically, and also where you're going to publish your content. I feel like that's one of the biggest things. Initially, we wanted something that sorted distribution for us. We didn't want to worry about distribution. Like, we're not content creators in the sense that we've been through radio, you know, we have contacts in like the media space or anything like that. This is an industry that was completely new to all of us. So like, definitely if you want to get into podcasting, consider how you're going to distribute, and by distribute I just mean how are people going to find out about you guys, where can they find your content, and how many platforms are you going to put out your content on. We distribute, I think, on a number of platforms as Codecast and as Rushing Forward. We try to make sure that we cover the biggest content platforms, you know, the Spotify's, the Apple Podcasts. We try to cover as many of those as possible. And I think as you're starting out, don't pressure yourself. Don't think too hard about how you're going to do the recordings. It's relatively easy to get a simple mic set up and a platform to record your podcast. So yeah, pretty much I think that's the kind of advice I'd give.
Okay, so from what I'm saying, hearing you say is as good as it is to have a distribution mechanism and know who you're targeting and what type of content you're going to put out, the first thing you need to do is record some content.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people that are getting into podcasts now, especially around me, always put themselves under pressure in terms of actually putting out any content. You want the perfect intro. You want the perfect, you want the perfect voice for your podcast. But you end up with a lot of recordings, but nothing actually put out, or no recordings at all, which is one of the biggest. And we have a saying, like, okay, not a saying. We have like a thing in my industry, like software development, like just push out something. Push out something, whatever it is, and you will grow over time. Like, no one's perfect at the very beginning. And cool. I know, like, I've had conversations with people about our initial recordings, like episodes 1 through 10. Like, we struggled with audio quality. Like, that's one of the biggest problems that we had. Like, we could never get perfect audio quality. And we still haven't gotten it till today. But I don't think we would have made as much progress as we did if that was something we let hinder us in the very beginning.
And at the end of the day, I think the most important thing is the content.
Yeah, definitely. And that's been a struggle as well. I never quite know whether we've recorded good content or bad content. Like, it's never really very apparent until you get it out there into someone's ears or hands, for lack of a better phrase.
Okay.
But that's something we figure out as we go.
Okay, cool. Then I'd like to also talk about your the other aspect you said you guys focus on, the tag evangelist. Like, what is that? What is that word?
Tech evangelism is just a fancy phrase for going out into the community and talking about the work that we're doing and advocating for either certain beliefs that we have or technologies that we're using. And one good example is, I'll give an example, Polelo, for example. So we actively talk about this platform that we're using to host our podcast. And we talk about the many benefits or like the things we're having challenges with. And we generally do that with the community that we have around us. So that's an example of some of the work we do in terms of evangelism.
Okay. Cool. And in terms of how things are changing now, since, okay, obviously, the coronavirus stepped into the chat, how are you guys having to change how you work in the podcasting space? Or is there anything you guys have had to change?
Well, I think the first thing I mentioned is it was hard to get four people in the same room to do a recording, and that hasn't changed even with us deciding that we'll start recording remotely. We've been testing out this for the last three episodes now, so it's working out okay so far. We've always had a challenge with communication anyway, communication channels with regards to what kind of episodes we wanted to put out and what we're going to record next. Right now we're trying out Slack as well, to kind of figure out if that would be like a good avenue for us to separate our conversations into different channels and see if we can make it work. Usually before would whenever we're recording, we'd have a brief conversation about it before in the studio and then like kind of decide what we want to do for the next couple of months or the next quarter. But now since yeah, that's getting a bit difficult. We're hoping we can move that into Slack. It's been working poorly so far, but hopefully we pick up the pace over the next couple of months because we are hoping that we can use this to kind of settle into like a new structure. But in terms of recording, we've moved all our recordings onto three primary platforms. We use Zoom sometimes to do our recordings. Sometimes we use Zencastr as well. I think the latest one we tried, well, not the latest one, we did try a phone call as well. For example, if everybody's local, including our guests, we attempted an actual phone conversation and we recorded it and tried to test out what the audio quality would be. But so far, Zoom's worked best, followed by Zencastr. Zencastr mostly because you can separate the different audio streams, similar to how we do it with Adobe Audition or something like that. So that's generally how we've decided to adapt.
So even when you are editing, you can basically then edit different people for the specific audio connection you get from their side.
Yeah, definitely. So we had an issue a couple of weeks ago with one of the Rushing Forward episodes. So our host Daniel had forgotten to well, his earphones, they weren't completely covering his ears. So he had some kind of echo every time his guest would speak. That audio would go back into the microphone, and there was like this consistent echo throughout the recording. So it was easy for us to fix that because of the different streams of audio. So we could just mute out all the echoes that were there when he was quiet and his guest was speaking. So it made it really easy for us to kind of do that production well enough for us to put out something that we were happy with.
That gives me an idea. Okay, cool. Cool stuff. So yeah. Speaking of which, I'm currently actually looking at adding live streaming functionality on Full Elephant. And yeah, and as you say, that having independent streams. Or the other thing that comes to mind now is panning one person's voice to the right and panning the other first person's voice to the left. So if a person is listening to the episode, it feels like the interviewer is on the right-hand side and the interviewee is on the left-hand side, and they're having this conversation, and you're listening to one side of the convo and then the other. And yeah. I'll attempt adding that actually.
Okay, you should let me know how it goes. I'm especially interested in live streaming options because I think if it wasn't for this COVID-19 situation, in March we were hoping we could do a live recording, not exactly a live stream, but a live recording where we could have like a panel, a guest, and a host, and we could have an audience that would be allowed to take part in the recording as well by asking questions. And so on and so forth. So, have being able to move this to an online platform is something that I'd definitely be interested in, away from the Zooms and the Skypes and whatever, just like an authentic podcast recording experience.
Question then I have is, what's the question? Blah blah blah. What does the future hold then for Codecast as a collective?
Well, our plan over the next 12 months is basically just growth in all facets. We want to grow our audience, even though we understand that it's a bit of a niche market that we're in, especially within Africa, because firstly, podcasting or just consuming podcasts isn't something that's generally mainstream, especially for the country that I'm in, because I'm in Zambia. Like, if you look at how people consume any kind of audio, even things like Spotify or Deezer are a bit of a stretch. So extending that to podcasts is something that's still a strange phenomenon. And one of the ways in which we're trying to grow the consumption of podcasts within the country is to get as many people, first of all, to jump onto the bandwagon of recording podcasts. The more people, the merrier. And it just means we could have a community of creatives that could help grow the industry. And hopefully we could get to a point where this is generally something that's normal and people are used to. Apart from that, we're just hoping that we can also grow individually in terms of the kind of content that we put out, consistently trying to add value. And hopefully we can grow to a space where we can do Q&A sessions at least once a month, and hopefully we can build an engaging community, not just online but physically as well. And the community online should extend to many more places apart from Zambia. You know, we want to make sure that we are able to understand needs in different spaces and appeal to them in a way that would be most relatable to them. And hopefully we can actually grow into a media company and we can produce many more podcasts. So Rushing Forward is like an experiment of us starting a new show and seeing how it would affect our audience, how we'd be able to handle it as a team. Do we have the right things in place to actually make sure that this succeeds and is something that will stand the test of time? And so far, so good. We've had a little hiccups here and there, but yeah, so far, so good.
Speaking of hiccups, what has been the scariest incident or in that way?
I wouldn't say scary. I'd say, yeah, what's been the most scary incident? So sometimes we've had issues with procrastination, not doing any quality checking. And I think this was scary in the beginning, not so much now, but this was scary in the beginning. On the day you're supposed to release an episode, you receive very bad quality, or like not good enough quality from your engineer. And now you have to scramble, and you want to put something out because you want to be consistent. But at the same time, is it worth putting something bad out there just for the sake of consistency? So I think that would be, I'd say, one of the fears I had. Then something else that scared me was the point when I think the team almost fell apart. I think this was like the end of 2018, going into 2019, and we had like an internal issue that was kind of scary. I didn't think we're gonna fix it, but we did, and I think that was a turning point for us in terms of like what we wanted to do. I actually thank God for that moment, because if it wasn't for that moment, we wouldn't have done the work we did last year. We wouldn't have committed to the kind of consistency and seriousness that we did. And that's kind of grown into 2020 as well. We know exactly what we want to do. We know what our expectations are, both as a podcast and as individual team members, and so on and so forth. So yeah, I'd say that's been the biggest challenge we've had, just internal communication, trying to make sure that we actually have the structure as we're growing this into something that might actually be a viable business, you know?
So then let's dream a bit, right, while we're still here and talking about growth. What are some of the things you'd think would get a podcast to 1,000 listeners per episode? Not just the podcast, but the podcast we work on, right? You on Rushing Forward or Codecast, me on Stage Fright and other podcasts. What type of
That's a
things?
really that's like a really difficult question for me to answer you about the many different things we're trying. and we're hoping would work. And maybe this is something that someone out there has tried and has worked for them, and they can validate it. So basically, the engagement is something that we think is key to driving listenership, and not just listenership also, but just retention, because it's been difficult from a statistical perspective to kind of tell what our retention numbers are, for example. I mean, we recently got to 2,500 listens overall across all the episodes that we have. And this is us getting to episode where we just released episode 30. So at this point, we're at episode 25 and we got to 2,500 listens. So we noticed that a lot of the times our listenership would spike is the time when we are most active either on social media or attending events. So as we engage with more people, either remote or physically, we found that many more people discovered our podcast and listened. And not only that, we ran a survey and we found that we weren't really giving people content they were interested in. So talking to them a lot more kind of gave us an idea of what kind of content people actually wanted to hear. And immediately we started putting out that content. It was very evident for us that we started having a lot of people listening in. One thing I would say though is we try not to focus on the numbers too much. Like, I'm a data person, I love numbers, but sometimes numbers can be depressing. So, on average, usually, I think in certain circles, sponsors will tell you we need to know how many listeners you can have in the first 3 weeks or 1 month of release or the first 3 months. But generally, our listeners don't listen immediately our episode is out. They take their time. Mostly, I think, because our episodes are long. They are mostly, on average, 40 to 1 hour. So we know they're not going to finish a lot of it in one session. So it will take multiple sessions. So we found that over time, they will download the episodes and it will take them a bit of time to finish. And because of that, we find over time, 3 months, maybe you won't do good numbers, but over a 6 month period, for example, your listenership would have gotten to the level that you want it to be. And for us, because of that, we find that sometimes we put out content that stands the test of time, doesn't get too stale quickly. Because if your numbers are growing in a space of 6 months, you want whatever you're talking about to still be relevant if someone's listening 6 months later. It's not always the case. It's still something that we're definitely working on. But I'd say, in terms of driving numbers up, engagement ranks first, and engagement means connecting with people online or in physical spaces so that they feel connected to the podcast and the content that you're trying to put out. I think for us, that's number one. Number two is, of course, relevant content. Third is definitely being able to give them access to your podcast. That's distribution now. At least if you're on the three biggest platforms, for example, it means they don't need to switch over. Reduce the time they need to get to hear your voices or get to sample your podcast. And that's something that we've seen is pretty key. And I think we've done well in that area. Most people do well in that area, actually, especially with platforms like Anchor that distributes across many different platforms for you. It becomes a bit easier. But one challenge I've seen with things like that is, like for us, the reason we did a survey was because we couldn't get the right analytical data that we wanted to appeal to potential sponsors, for example, because that's one avenue we really wanted to grow, and that's generate some kind of revenue to sustain some of the projects we're doing. So finding the right platform that gives you the right information that you can then use also to figure out whether you're actually growing from a listener perspective, whether your retention is working. We do a lot of testing. We test a lot of theories. We put out content that's specifically just meant to test how people would react to something. And it's important for us to be able to tell if the reaction is positive or not.
Okay, interesting. So, no, very interesting answer. I think now I'm also in that zone of looking at the numbers and saying, the number is this much. How can we make it higher by a factor of 10, make it higher by a factor of 100? And it's a very interesting exercise because sometimes you can attempt something and then it has the opposite effect. Sometimes you can record a really good episode. You think in your heart, like, oh, this is a very good episode. And to a person who doesn't even know who, the person you're interviewing and who doesn't even know the topic you guys are talking about, they are not even going to click on the link. They're just going to walk past. And it's harder in that case to get those numbers to go up, as you're saying, because one, you didn't even give your main audience members content that they actually want to talk about or they actually want to listen to. So yeah, I'm gonna be more on the lookout. I'm gonna see if I can apply more of the things you just talked about now and improve on where we are and on the platform itself.
You want to know something that I tried recently that I feel like has well so far it looks like it's working well. We talked about the little teaser we did with Lydia's episode. We're really trying this thing where we get what we feel like is the best aspect of the podcast, like not really long, like little 5 minute snippets of the episode. And put them out, and then basically use that as kind of like a lure and get people into actually listening to the full episode. So, we're using a platform, I forget what it's called, but it kind of helps us generate some kind of waveforms with like audio in the background. And that's what's piquing people's interest a little bit. And we're testing that on the Rushing Forward episode podcast. So, it seems to be working relatively well so far.
I think I've seen some of your tweets where the media is basically like a minute long or 30 seconds long, and then you guys have the links there. Oh, cool. I'll check it out and see how I could also use it on my side. But yeah.
And you know, I just remembered something else. You mentioned something that I relate to. Thinking that you've made a really good episode, and then when the episode actually goes out, you find out that it was a really shit episode. By people's reactions, you know, that's oh, like I try to not fall into that trap, but I always do. I mean, even our last episode, I had a good feeling about that episode. I know it's just it's only been available for 24 hours, but I really thought it was a really good episode, and I expected a lot more, you know, feedback early on. But so far, it seems to be following the same trend as previous episodes, even though I'd say it's doing better than our previous episode already in one day, than the episode before has done in 3 weeks, which is really interesting. And those are some of the strange things that I notice. Like, it's never consistent. So, like, trying to find out why one episode has done better than another one when, you know, more times passed and stuff like that. So, like, those are things that we're trying to fix. We had a blunder, I think, on episode, I think it was like episode 10 or 9. So we thought we were recording the episode, but we were actually having challenges, and the audio was choppy and everything. So we put out an apology right before the episode started. Like, we had one of our hosts just apologize and give our audience like a more like a catch up on where exactly the conversation starts from, just so they don't get lost. Instead of having to re-record an entirely new episode. And it turns out that that particular description, like just the intro that explained what the episode was about and what the conversation was up until a certain point, that's something that more than 50% of our audience enjoyed. And I didn't expect that. It was born out of like a complete blunder.
The circumstances.
Yeah.
No, man, cool stuff, cool stuff. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask me?
How's been your experience recording stage fright? What are some of the most interesting conversations you've had so far? I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I'm definitely going to make much more of an effort.
So, my experience has been nice. It's actually probably the second time I've attempted to do remote recording. The first one was something I wanted to call Cut and Join, and I still have the episode recorded sitting on my phone on my laptop, and I didn't like the quality of that recording. And I think the positive thing with COVID-19 is more and more people actually understand online stuff now. So most people I've had to engage with already are doing the best they can do to provide me with a good quality audio recording. We're using earphones and all that jazz. And then all I have to do is pick a good enough platform. I think the first recording that I did for the Cut and Join stuff, the problem was me because I chose a bad platform. I recorded a WhatsApp call, and that didn't fly. It probably would have sounded better if I did an audio a normal phone call and recorded that. But on the stage fright side, I've been enjoying the conversations I'm having, and I as you're saying, you can't really tell if an episode is good or not, right? But I enjoyed the episodes I recorded last week. I did two episodes last week. One of them was with Lindy, where and we were talking about her OnlyFans and the experiences she's had on OnlyFans and what actually got her to have an OnlyFans account. And yeah, I loved that episode. I loved recording it, and I've gotten good feedback on that episode. And the other episode I recorded last week as well was with Ishmael about his experience putting together this poetry slam called Speak Out Loud. It probably has the biggest prize money in the continent, or that's what he says. And also enjoyed that conversation because I've been in the poetry space for quite a long time. And I know quite a lot about what is happening in the space, and just having a conversation with him, just it feels natural. Basically, it's like you talking with a tech person about tech on a recording. Right? And yeah, today I have two shows. Just did one before this as well. And yeah, good conversations all around. And what I think I also need to learn is, I l same thing with you. We've known each other for quite a while, but and we've had a couple of conversations beforehand, before this one. So the episode I recorded before this, I've actually known the person for quite a long time, and we've interacted so many times on Twitter before. And we know exactly what we need to know about each other, but we've never had a conversation, right? So it felt awkward after the recording when we were actually having a normal people conversation. Yo, I saw you did this 6 months ago. How is that been? Oh, I'm doing this. You should check out blah, 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 blah. And that is nice. I still have to figure out a format for that, because I still want to have my own personal conversation with people, but I still want to have the show, right? And I still want to keep that barrier visible, at least for myself, that okay, now I'm doing the show, and then now I'm having a normal conversation. But with time, and I think with each episode, I get to blur the lines a little more. Like, oh, actually, this is a personal conversation, but we're using it for the show, as you guys are saying, with the behind the scenes recording. Like, what does a behind the scenes recording sound like over online call?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh.
One question I'd have for you is, over the do you see yourself, because I can totally relate to conversations around whether blurring the lines between, like you're saying, the behind the scenes conversations, the personal conversations, and when you're actually doing the show. I think one challenge I had early on was I was a little too controlling. Like, I wanted the show to sound a particular way. So we kind of lost that authenticity a little bit. It didn't sound natural anymore, but we still wanted something that sounded natural. But over the last few months, there's feedback that I've been getting, right? It leading towards people suggesting that maybe you need to get a producer, you know, that will kind of start producing, you know, the show. And maybe you need to script the show a little more, because one of the cornerstones of Codecast itself is we're unscripted, largely unscripted. Like, a lot of the conversations are as raw as they can be. I mean, of course, we have to cut out certain stuff from time to time, but a lot of it is as it's recorded, basically. So have you had any of those thoughts around, like, either audio quality, production issues, and stuff like that?
I think those always come up, but from the recordings I've done on stage fright so far, right, I'm satisfied with the audio quality. Also, like we have to all agree, certain improvements require a certain amount of money, right? And if I'm ever going to make a certain improvement, either from a recording quality perspective, it has to be economical for me to do those improvements, right? And if I also am going to increase the size of a team and do research before an episode goes out, other than the research I can do personally with just Google and the person I'm talking to and looking at what things I think we should actually make it a point to bring up in the conversation. If I get someone else to do that on my behalf as in a professional capacity as a producer, that also takes some money. And as things stand, the podcast is not generating income, right? So it would have to be then, okay, how do I get this podcast to generate income so that I can cover 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Right. And yeah, for me, the feedback I've gotten from people who has genuinely been around the conversation itself and not necessarily the quality. And I
I see.
think that part of the reason. Oh yeah, the first episode. Yeah, I actually got feedback on the quality because the third episode started out with some choppy audio in the first 2 minutes, but we fixed it during the recording. And I realized that a lot of people actually stopped listening after the first 2, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. They didn't get further into the conversation after the choppiness went away, because first impressions do count on the internet when people are scrolling past millions and millions of other content on the internet. So yeah, I think now I do more to keep make sure that an episode starts out well, and we get to something juicy at the start of the episode. And what I used to do in my previous podcast is I would take the best part of the conversation, basically what you guys do with the social media posts. I did it at the start of every episode. Just take the juiciest part of the conversation, start the episode with that, and then rewind and start the actual episode, so that people get the first 30 seconds and some, oh, that sounds interesting, and then we start over, and then they have to wait for that part of the conversation to actually come up again to hear what that is.
What that was about. Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think I never thought of that. That might be something that I might pick up and also experiment with, see if we can add little snippets at the beginning. One thing we're trying to do right now is we're trying to grow the number of people that we include in the podcast, especially from a music perspective. I am passionate about music, especially the EDM community within Zambia itself. So I do have a lot of friends that are producing music in that area. So I figured if we like the music and we like the content, we could see if we could have, like, dope intros and outros, and see if we can plug them as well. and see how that would affect our audience and that sort of thing. So I might actually play around with a lot of those concepts.
Interesting stuff. No, I can't wait to hear what you guys cook up.
Yeah, definitely. You'll probably hear it soon. We're done with the initial phases and everything. We just need to mix in our vocals now to kind of make it complete.
Cool. Drop in an album, call it Russian Food, put it on Spotify, and let's see how it does.
Definitely. Definitely.
Okay, mate.
So you mentioned not making, sorry, you mentioned not making income at the moment. That's something we've wanted to start generating revenue for quite some time now because we are very ambitious. There's a lot of things that we want, but we can't do because the money just isn't there. Right now, everything is coming out of our own pockets, and we have to be economical, like you were saying. Do you have a plan for something like that in the future?
I do. I think when we first talked last year, I extensively went into it, but just to recap, I personally do not believe in advertising, right? I think it's gotten to the point where I hate advertising. And every time I engage with the website, and an ad pops up in such an intrusive manner where I don't even want to see whatever it is that I was there for in the first place. And so basically with Polelo, I want to stay away from advertisers as much as possible, right? And keep the content. Obviously, you guys can add your adverts to your content. It's your content, but I wouldn't incorporate it to how the platform functions.
I
And
see.
so what I want to do is rather focus on the fact that everyone has an audience, right? And everyone has an audience of different sizes. But whether or not your podcast has 10 listeners, if one person in those 10 is willing to actually pay for some content or pay to support your content, the platform should be able to facilitate those transactions, right? And yeah, I think now we're in the age where people understand that crowdfunding is as big as it is for a reason, right? Some people were making jokes in America, basically because of their healthcare system, that you should actually grow a following on social media just in case you need good healthcare, right? Because your audience will be the ones that actually contribute dollars each, and then you can afford to get an operation. And I think, why is it not the case for content creators, right? We are moving away from traditional media to digital media, and we are actually moving the studio out of the picture, right? So how is it that the people who watch your content don't just pay if they feel like paying, right? And there's really no cap to what a person would pay for the content that they enjoy watching.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
that's the angle I'm going for. Set up the platform in such a way that a podcaster can easily convert content into money. And then from there, they should decide whether or not they want to increase their production quality because they have the budget to actually do that. And we've also talked about how currencies are an issue. Because as you guys are on the platform, if I'm going to do it, first things first, I can only do it and interface with South African bank accounts, because that's how the banking industry has been set up. It's been set up to make it hard for people in different countries to actually interface with each other. So now I'm also looking at how do I make it support people in other countries easier, like, without having to do currency conversions, without me having to actually code for the fact that you're in a different country. And the simplest answer for me now is Bitcoin. I won't even lie. Any podcaster who wants to monetize their content probably has a better chance of doing it via Bitcoin, and also it works on the international setting as well, regardless of whatever currency, whatever bank you're using, and wherever your audience member is, they most likely have access to some Bitcoin infrastructure that they can send you money via. And yeah, so that is probably something I'll be experimenting with pushing out in the next 2-3 months. Weird enough, I already have the code for the South African payment processes, but I'm not going to push that out because I want to focus more on the Bitcoin stuff, so that I don't have to then maintain 2 payment processes on one platform.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, and I think payments is one of the biggest challenges. I mean, we're looking at starting with donations, basically.
Yeah.
And one of the challenges, obviously, is that the payment infrastructure here is not the most conducive. Even if you want to receive payments from within the country, I mean, there's a big overhead in terms of costs. It doesn't exactly benefit the small players in the industry, you know what I mean? So I can totally relate to that sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah. So read up on Bitcoin, man. Weird enough, the other episode today is about Bitcoin. So
I'll definitely listen to the episode because I know you've been talking about it for a while. I've been looking at your tweets as well. I know you're very passionate about it.
Yeah. Now I'm moving into the phase where I try to get my mother using it. Wish me luck.
All the best. I still can't get my mom to just send e-wallets. I have to do it for her. So, hey, I don't think it's because they don't want to learn. They just know that someone else can do it for them. Someone else can understand something for them, and they just don't want to put in the time.
Yeah, but I think I'd be satisfied if he calls me to send Bitcoin for her, right? Because at least at that point she understands, oh, I need to use Bitcoin for this specific activity. So if we get to that point, it's I count that as a win.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for the conversation.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I hope you have a pleasant day.
Yeah, and I hope you have one too. I hope everybody that listens will also listen to the Rushing Forward podcast. We're on Polelo. Just search for Rushing Forward and tell us what you think.
Mm-hmm. May all the wealth end up in all the bank accounts of the team members that side.
Definitely. All right. Thanks a lot. Perfect.